It is the principal rule of the dunya, this world, that if a person does a wrong action, does an incorrect action, and the meaning of incorrect or wrong is that if a person does an action contrary, opposite, against the principles and rules of the world that we define as a crime, then that person is labeled as a criminal, for example in a court. And then when that person commits the crime, then it is necessary for that person, according to the laws and rules of the world, that that person should be punished. Whichever court of justice you go to, small, big, supreme, however, magistrate, high court judge, etc., when the criminal is presented and it is proven that this person has committed a crime, then that criminal, if he says that, oh, leave me, or if people say leave him, will he be left? Will he be released? No, if it's proven that he has committed the crime and the court has made the decision, then the law of the world, the rules, the principles of the world is such that until today I have not seen that a person is proven that he is a criminal and that he is released without the punishment. So what happens normally is that the sentence is passed according to the severity of his crime. The punishment is meted out, that laws will be made. If someone's done this, he's given this punishment. If someone murders, then he's hanged or capital punishment. If somebody is stolen, he'll get this punishment. If someone's had a bad action, immoral action, he'll get this punishment. What I'm trying to say is that the world, the general sense of law, we have got around the world so that the society can remain protected. That person, he will have fear that if I commit a crime, I'll get punished. If the criminal knows that there's no punishment attached to the crimes, then at all times that person will break the rules, break the laws, carry out improper actions. And this is not correct. And so there cannot be no release, or you can say a gap in the regulations and the principles. So I'm just speaking generally. I'm not a solicitor, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just talking generally speaking, that people can understand what I'm saying, that there's laws. There are laws in the world for the protection of society. So it's here, it's clear that everybody who commits a crime in the world, generally speaking, has a punishment given out, and he goes to court, he's sentenced, and then he goes to jail and he gets the punishment. He'll go to jail. Obviously you can't hit that person, beat that person. So there's another, that's the criminal for the general, on the general sense of the world. But then there's another criminal who is in the court of Allah. And what is the crime that that person has committed? He has committed crimes against his Rabb, his Lord. Yes, and there are regulations and rules in that sense as well. Are there not? Because we all believe in Allah. So obviously, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that obviously if there's a criminal, so if somebody commits a crime against Allah, the wish of Allah, will there not be a punishment? And here in the world we give full punishment. So if a person commits a crime against Allah, Allah's rules, then will he be left without punishment? If a person breaks the rules and regulations and the laws that Allah ta'ala has given to us, or the words that Allah ta'ala has given to us as guidance, and we break that guidance, then what will happen? What will Allah's rules and regulations and Allah's law say? That punish this person. And the punishment here we see in the world, in the dunya, is that person's locked up, shackled, jailed, no food, no drink according to his desires. But even there, mashallah, they still get their facilities. And here, that Allah Ta'ala says the criminal in my eyes, in my books, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, the consequences for that person. And Allah says that that person will get Jahannam, the hellfire in the hereafter. And how can we understand what is Jahannam? What is hellfire? Allah Ta'ala has described Jahannam. It is mentioned in the ahadith that what is Jahannam? What does it contain? For who? Allah says if you become a criminal, just like the courts in the world say that the person who does this action, he'll get this punishment. If he does this crime, he'll get this punishment. This many years, if you park here, you'll get a £40 fine. These laws are mentioned, aren't they? And the consequences. Same way, likewise, Allah says, the person who breaks my rules, who disobeys me, then tell me, what danger will that person be in? If not today, then tomorrow he will be presented in front of Allah. The court is going to be established. Allah Ta'ala's court, the scales of justice will come out. and everything will be there. So hey, if we are afraid and we're cautious, for example, a person goes to a big store and he feels like, I like that phone, that telephone looks very adoring, looks very attractive, look, no one's watching, no one's looking, let me put it in my pocket, I don't have £400 to pay for it, but I'd like this phone. So he picks the phone up and stash it into his pocket. What will stop him though? What will? Afterwards will come Allah, isn't it? Normally for us. But what will stop me first is, oh, there's a camera here. Or if the security guard is standing, watching. Or there's a person, a watch person. There's a guard somewhere and peeping or spying on me and he sees me. Then the beads of sweat will come on his forehead. And his nafs is saying to him, take the phone, put it in your pocket. But what's stopping that person? Is the khawf, fear, I'll get caught. I'm going to get in prison. And the person who breaks that khawf, that fear, and he commits that action, he becomes the criminal in the world, according to the rules of the world, the laws of the world. If he's caught, he'll go to jail. So if a person's breaking Allah Ta'ala's rules, regulations, imagine a man, any person, who breaks the rules Allah Ta'ala has set out, and Allah Ta'ala has explained the consequences, and Allah Ta'ala said that not just in the hadith, but and the books, Allah Ta'ala called and took his beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the journey to the heavens, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw with his own eyes that this person, he'll get this punishment, this man, this woman, they did this action, this punishment, it was described. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I saw with my eyes, my Rabb showed me with my eyes on the Mi'raj, on the ascension, when I went on the journey, what are the punishments for the sin? So when a criminal commits a sin, he doesn't realize that he is that criminal who will get the punishment for this action, not jail in this world. And maybe the judge in this world can be a bit lenient and have a look at mitigating circumstances, or doesn't understand the case in its full capacity, or something's left out, so the sentence is less than what it should be. It's possible, the law of the world, but our Rabb, our Lord, his principles and rules are that he has got the angels watching out to us, and Allah is khud himself, he is khabir and basir. He doesn't need the angels to tell him. He knows everything, he sees everything, he hears everything. He doesn't need the angels to do the work for him. Allah Ta'ala has just put them in place so that we can realize that there's an intermediary there, there's something there, creation of Allah, that is watching, etc. For example, but we should not be worried about what's happening around us, or who is seeing us, not seeing us. We should automatically know that Allah is calling us. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need the angels to tell him. Allah Ta'ala says that your body itself will bear witness, testify. Your hairs on your body, on your head, on your beard, your nails, your fingers, your limbs, your organs, everything will testify to your sins. And Allah Ta'ala said that I've made such beautiful laws and principles, and you become a criminal and break those rules, then will I be saved? My friends, if I am a criminal in that court of Allah on the day of judgment, then I won't go to a jail. I will go into the ditch of Jahannam and be punished. So should I commit the crimes? Should I sin? Should I not be thinking? I am inviting myself and you to the thought of fikr, worry. We should be afraid in this world to break the laws. It is very bad to break the laws. We should never break the laws. We should obey the laws of the lands that we are living in. Whichever country you're living in, we should live according to those laws. Respect those laws. Respect those regulations. Whichever country we've adopted as our homeland, adopt those laws. Respect them and implement them. So Allah Ta'ala says, if in the world there are laws and we respect them and follow them, obey them. Allah Ta'ala said, my laws, my regulations, I sent 124,000 prophets to the world to teach the guidance to the people of the world. Allah said that, explain to the people of the world what are my regulations and rules, principles, so that the people of the world, the human beings, will realize that don't do these bad actions, otherwise you'll get a severe punishment. And the prophets were told, tell these people, we've come to remind you, O people, we are Bashir wa Nadir. We are explaining to you so that you can become afraid, because you won't be saved. You won't be saved in the hereafter due to the sins. The laws Allah Ta'ala has made, stick to them, adhere to them, implement them. Nobody will save you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. The person who understands this khawf, this fear, this Quran that we read for this reason, that we have learnt from the Quran and we instill fear. This is not about the parrot that listens and then just repeats, or not masleh masail, let's take these points out of the Quran, the hadith, let's do this tafsir and commentary. No. The basic message of the Quran. The Quran was given to us to learn. And what do we have to learn? That what are these actions we're doing? Is this lawful and unlawful? What will be the consequences, the sins, the punishments? Where will that person be thrown? And those people, alhamdulillah, who understand these principles, then all their life long they oppose their desires. And that person who has a desire in his heart, shall I take this phone? Shall I steal it? Put it in my pocket? He starts sweating. Shall I take it? Not take it. Desire say take it. But law of Allah says, don't take it, don't steal, don't become a thief. Then in that test, that challenge, does he pass? Does he think that, should I disobey my Lord? When a person is disobeying his Lord and sinning, he should think, shall I do this action or shall I not do this action? What is the punishment for this? I'm going to get this punishment very quickly and there'll be nobody to save me. You don't need witnesses. You don't need evidence. Nobody will be able to testify. Nobody will be able to lie or make a cover of it, because Allah Ta'ala knows everything. Allah Ta'ala says that you yourself will be your barrister and your tongue will say itself that I did wrong, Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? What a beautiful and important point that we should do tawbah today. We should repent for the crimes we've committed. Now the point I'm making that's in my mind, alhamdulillah, while I was sitting in the car coming here tonight, this subject came to my mind. I think about myself, if I pass away, what will happen to me? How will I be accounted for? Today, what will happen tomorrow? So when I was coming on the way here on the journey, these points came to my mind, and fresh I have repeated these words of my mind to you. I'm sharing this with you fresh. It's like hot off the press, and I'm sitting in front of you, and this is the hadith of Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, mashallah. And I did dua that Allah, I'm going to a beautiful gathering, a beautiful assembly. Your pious servants will be sitting there. You will have sent them to do your dhikr of Allah, your beloved servants. They are gathered, assembled in the masjid, and due to the dust on their slippers, on their feet, Allah, please allow me to succeed and benefit, so something good and beneficial can be discussed and come into my heart, so my life can also be put on the right path. Because mashallah, these brothers are sitting here, pious, Allah, make me like them so I can succeed. So Allah Ta'ala put into my heart, my mind, the hadith of Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. This whole total topic that's come to my mind, I've presented to you a beautiful topic, mashallah, subhanallah. So I'm saying it for this reason, that this isn't mine. This is, I didn't prepare, I didn't research, I didn't revise. Allah Ta'ala instilled these words and thoughts into my mind, into my heart. Allah, your karam, your blessings, your mercy. I didn't even know what to say today, how to start. I couldn't even imagine that such a beautiful subject would come to my mind. How I started, how we've spoken, what beautiful simplicity and understanding of the life and the objective and what we should do and not do. How Allah Ta'ala opens the hearts. I swear by Allah, after hearing this today myself, I've realized that how much I should fear. How much I should fear my Rabb. Wallahi billah, before this I did not have no recognition of how I should fear Allah. I'm telling you, but Allah Ta'ala is so merciful. No kitab, no hadith, no Quran. Just what's come into my heart totally has become a subject. The Quran has come, the hadith has come. And the hadith of Hazrat Amr ibn al-As has come into my heart, into my mind. And Allah has given it with dalil, with proof. And now, if I start to speak, I know that, mashallah, I could sit here, we could sit here for 3-4 hours, and we could discuss this topic ongoing. So deep, so beautiful. Anyway, let's continue. So the beautiful point, the message that we all learned today, a beautiful high-grade message. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, be focused, pay attention. The message is coming from Allah, Allah Ta'ala. I'm not a mulana. I'm not here to give a taqreer, a speech, a lecture, or give a speech, a Friday speech or gathering. No, this is khalis, solely, specially from Allah, that Allah Ta'ala is making us benefit here today. Allahu Akbar. So ask the brother who brought me here. I said before I came that I don't want to talk, or I don't want to give a bayan. And then when I got here, I said, let me speak, let me discuss. He said, we haven't prepared, we haven't set up the system. I said, no, before I came, I said, let's go there and just do dhikr today. And when I came, I said, is the mic set up? And he said, no, I've not set anything up, because you said you're not going to speak. I said, doesn't matter, put the preparations in place, set the mic up, set everything up all the time in case. Because Allah knows best what's going to happen. So, Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, this beautiful hadith, let's go towards it to learn from this hadith. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbin. Look at the difference here. That two crimes we committed, that Allah Ta'ala has presented us, one in the dunya, one in the akhirah. Little crime a person commits, a sin, a wrong action. He steals a pencil, or he steals a toffee, and you'll get the punishment. Will he be saved? Can I be saved? Can the laws of the world save me if I steal a toffee or pencil? If it's proven he's stolen, then I will get the punishment. Look at my Rabb. Allah, 70 years if a person sins, who disobeys Allah, who does bad actions, Allah Ta'ala has prepared that you say once astaghfar, I will forgive you, Allah says. I will forgive you. What a great Rabb. What a great Rabb. From such a big jail, you stand in front of the judge and you've stolen a toffee, a sweet. You say, please forgive me. You say, no, we cannot forgive. First punishment, then we forgive. Have you ever seen today? This day and age, that people, I'm not talking about big crimes, that if you say, oh, please forgive me, I won't do it again. Okay, I forgive you, don't do it again. There's no law here. Rather, these are the laws of the world that are man-made, and they can make that law. What difference does it make? Imagine. One toffee sweet is stolen. No, this is the punishment. If you park the car incorrectly, and how much you fight with the warden, argue, no, please let me off. No, you did it. You have to pay it. Will he forgive you? Will he let you off? You can beg, cry, plead. Will he forgive you? The warden, what does our Rabb, our Lord say? You've done zina, stolen, murdered, done gangster life, banditry. Such big sins that the space between the heavens and the earth is full with your sins. Just say once, Allah forgive me. Allah says, I will take you out of the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. Can I tell you something further than this? That the real point that's come to my mind, that the message that I'm sharing with you, this is just the introduction to what we're discussing today. Let's go towards the genuine article. The objective of sitting here today of mine has Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, his hadith. Subhanallah, I'm enjoying it, thinking about it, reading it. Allah, I enjoyed so much discussing this hadith here. So let's look further. If you are enjoying what you were already, Allah says, no, I'm Rahim, I'm Kareem. Look at the shan, the status of Allah, how much Allah Ta'ala loves His servant. One man who is about to prepare to go into the ditch of Jahannam, not for one crime. From morning till night, we commit so many crimes with our tongue, eyes, hands, and our feet, our stomach. All day long, we are immersed and drowned in the sins. Is this the case or not? Tell me. And we are such big criminals. Such big criminals. But look at Allah's mercy. How look Allah Ta'ala has love and muhabbat and karam and blessings that despite all of our crimes, doesn't matter how many crimes we've committed, Allah says, you say once sincerely, my servant, Allah forgive me. Allah says, I'll forgive you. Totally, I'll wipe away the deeds that were wrong. I won't even let anyone remember the sins you committed. And let's look further now. Allah Ta'ala says, let's continue further ahead of this. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm the one who's so merciful that look, come. The forgiveness you're asking for, Allah says, I've prepared bigger forgiveness than this. More and above and over the forgiveness you're seeking. Allah Ta'ala says, I've prepared for you something such that until the hamilini arsh, the carriers and the followers of the throne, all the angels in the heavens, Allah says, I'll make them busy that they will do istighfar, repentance on your behalf. On your behalf. Okay, fine. Maybe my istighfar and repentance is weak. But Allah says, don't worry, my servant. Don't worry. You are sincere. You are repenting. Allah says, I'll prepare for you that you definitely, sincerely want to do tawbah and you're doing it in the world before you can pass away. Allah says, if the angels see you and you start to travel after doing tawbah, then the sins book will close. Remember this. So, if you are about to depart and you pass away and you are doing tawbah, then Allah says, no, the kitab is about to be closed at that time. It's too late. Think today while you're alive. You still got time. I want to do tawbah. Allah, I want to repent. Allah said, I've prepared for your tawbah so greatly that what tawbah will you do? Forget your tawbah, that the angels will start to do tawbah on your behalf. The carriers and followers of the throne will do tawbah on your behalf. Mikael, Jibreel will start to do tawbah. Millions of angels will do istighfar, forgiveness, request dua for forgiveness on your behalf. Allah says, I know this, that when my servant, any servant of mine does my dhikr, then all of the angels in the heavens and the earth, they start to do istighfar for him. For him, subhanallah. What a great statement. As Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, this is hadith I've shared with you. Tell me, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, the person who said subhanallah, then millions of angels say, Allah, forgive this servant of yours. Forgive this servant of yours. Why? Why? Because due to our dirty, polluted tongue, which is doing istighfar, doesn't have the power to attain that and earn that forgiveness. But those angels that are illuminated, whose tongues are illuminated and clean and pure, Allah says, how will I reject their duas when they're doing dua on your behalf, my servant? How will I reject them? So what we realize is that if Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, ability to somebody to do dhikr, and the kalimats are being recited from our tongues and our mouths, then Allah Ta'ala says the whole of the creation of the angels is doing istighfar for us and doing dhikr. That's why I stated that when a person departs from dhikr, then he departs forgiven as a forgiven person. All of the angels, they were requesting his forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, with his every kalima in dhikr, all of the angels in the heaven say, Allah forgive him, Allah forgive him. You say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, all of the angels will say, Allah forgive this person. And we start crying over little things. And should a dhakir be distressed, unhappy? A dhakir has a beautiful life, a dhakir that you should give prayers to the walis of Allah who have taught us dhikr. Is this a small favor they've taught us dhikr? We can learn all of the ulum and knowledge of the world, but the person who's taught us dhikr, MashaAllah, that is the great, great miracle and feat and achievement. And never should we be ungrateful for the dhikr of Allah. With the dhikr of Allah, my brothers, this is a very great action, the dhikr of Allah. Very great. So let's see how great criminals we are. I am, maybe you aren't, but look how big a criminal I am. And where a person sits in dhikr, says, don't worry, doesn't matter how many crimes you committed, you come to my dhikr, haven't you? You leave it. Allah Ta'ala says, the angels will do istighfar for you. The angels, they'll say, Allah, forgive him. Forgive him. So how will I reject them? How can I not hear their dua? The millions of angels, when a person is a dhakir, is doing dhikr, and they are doing dua to Allah in the heavens, Allah forgive this person. So my brothers, that this majlis, alhamdulillah, this gathering is full of blessings and mercy, and very few people have come. There should be so many people here that today we're going to get forgiven. Morning to evening, we did so many sins. How does Allah know that tomorrow morning I may be called, invited to Allah to return to my Lord? So let's utilize the time we've got today. All of the sins I've committed up to now, let me go to that gathering that Allah Ta'ala has assembled. Let's go and sit there. What difference will it make to us? Our sins will be wiped away, cleaned, purified. This is hadith I'm reciting to you. So what a great gathering this is. And we should drag people here. People should drag themselves here themselves. Let's go, brothers. Let's do the dhikr of Allah. Go to the gathering of the dhikr of Allah. From Allah, this is a great gift. This is rahmah, mercy. The sea, the ocean of mercy. As soon as you go to the gathering of dhikr, your sins are wiped clean. You're purified, washed, cleansed. A person, if he doesn't feel this, doesn't matter. But the Quran and hadith, we should believe in them. Face value. That this is what they have told us. That Allah Ta'ala's fadl, his blessings, his rewards are on that person who does dhikr. How he comes and then he improves and he leaves. He's washed, he's cleansed, he's washed. So now you will do dhikr. And Allah Ta'ala says, all the angels, every one of them will call out your name and say, Allah, forgive this person. Forgive this person. Forgive this person. And then from every corner the call will come. The intercession, the angel will say, then Allah will say, go, O my servant, I have forgiven you, and I will let all of these angels bear witness to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how a person is forgiven. We should do shukr. We should be grateful that when we depart from such a great gathering, or when dhikr is finished and we joined in, then we should promise Allah, I won't do any sins after today. I won't leave any salah after today. Whatever the crimes, I won't steal in the world. I won't go and steal from the shop. I won't do the wrong things. These are the crimes of the world. So when a person comes out of jail, he promises these things. But the person who is the mu'min, he should say, Allah, I want to leave this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do the actions. So a person should not, he should say, Allah, I will not from today be involved in disobedience, due to which I will earn your wrath. That I'm forgiven and I go back into the debt. And how do I know that I'm going to get such a gathering again? How do I know then I will be able to attend that gathering of dhikr so my sins can be forgiven? And when people are forgiven, Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased. And is this a little thing? Is this insignificant? Then the rewards start. Then he starts to feel beautiful enjoyment and dhikr. And his distresses will disappear. His difficulties disappear. His problems disappear. His issues disappear. And Allah knows best. All of the calamities that were to come to his life, they disappear. The accidents, they are eliminated. Yani, so many hundreds of thousands of guarantees that person is attaining before he departs from the dhikr. Because he's pleased Allah. When Allah Ta'ala is pleased, the Rabb, then we don't know what's going to happen with us after, do we? What could happen in the evening? I could pass away. There could be an accident. Or Qiyamah could have come. Or a zelzala, or an earthquake. Anything could happen. And how many things could occur in our life that due to which we panic, we have problems and worries. Nobody knows what's going to come. Within seconds things happen. Oh, this happened, that happened. Allah Ta'ala says, when you do the dhikr of Allah, you do my remembrance and you're forgiven and Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then Allah Ta'ala says, I protect my servant over everything and I take him far from the distressing problems, issues, difficulties. In the hadith is stated, those difficulties and issues, they hang before they come to the individual, then they're reversed. And then your dhikr and kalamat, they will stop the calamity coming to you. If a disaster is about to come to you, top to toe, head to toe, then let's say after 4 hours the disaster is going to strike and that person's going to be there. But the dhakir, he diverts the calamities away from the dhakir, because the action of dhikr has that power. Should we do dhikr or not? We should, isn't it? We should be grateful Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to do dhikr. We should do dhikr morning and evening, sit in the majlis, in the gathering, learn dhikr, make your heart alive. That in every moment you should be in a situation that your heart continues to do dhikr, and the angels, they request our forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.